It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Them. Modric deflected. Oh, it's hit the post, and Lennon has equalised in one of the most astonishing finishes of the season.
Got past Bellamy, deflected, and Crouch has scored for Spurs. And is that the goal that takes them into the Champions League?
And you mean you've made your name as a wheeler and dealer. There's not been much wheeling and dealing, has
there? No, I'm not a wheeler and dealer. No, fuck off.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. Harry.
Well, nobody got a name as a fucking dealer. Don't even, right. Don't say that. I'm a fucking football manager.
Oh, that is a fantastic goal. He's gone for goal again. Oh, this is incredible. This is quite incredible.
Still Lennon. Here is Crouch. Tottenham in front.
The support I've had from everybody at Tottenham, you know. And I just have to thank the fans, especially the fans of Tottenham. The other night, the Wigan game was the most moving I've ever felt, you know, for me personally, to have them singing my name throughout the game while all this was going on. That will always be special to me, you know, and I'll never forget that.
Obviously, the singing job, it's a long-term ambition. You wouldn't be able to turn it down, would you?
I've not even thought about it. I've got a job to do. We've got a big game Saturday for Tottenham, so, you know, Tottenham is my focus, you know.
And what are your thoughts of it? Everybody is tipping you. Are you interested?
Listen, honestly, I've just got to get on. Tottenham is what, you know, they've been fantastic to me, Tottenham people, and the fans last week with the Wigan game. It was incredible, the reception they gave me. So I wouldn't be right to them to even focus on anything else but Tottenham. That's my only interest, is Tottenham Hotspurs.
This is quite incredible. 5-2.
Tottenham absolutely down and out. 5-1.
To this very special episode of the Tottenham Way podcast. This is a Harry Redknapp Rain special. This week we are joined, as usual, Dan Kilpatrick. Dan, how's it going, mate?
It's going all right, mate.
Good. Just about to take a sip of your pint there, weren't
you? Yeah, I was, yeah. Sorry, I've learned my lesson from last week.
Yeah, well, don't really not. Myself, Tom Hayward, Ollie Lister is back. Ollie from the Everton preview, was it, when you came in?
Sunderland.
Oh, Sunderland preview. Oh, we just played Everton.
Why even preview? We always do. We're better at reviews, aren't we?
We're not really good at anything, to be perfectly honest, are we?
What game did we talk about?
It was Sunderland, wasn't it?
Did we talk about a game?
It was mainly about your love of Levy. That's why you're wrong.
That'll come in handy in this pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome back, Ollie. Thanks, mate. We're also joined by Jim, who is at Stylish Riot. Jim, you were involved in Spurs community.
I wrote a few things a long time ago for Spurs community.
Did that overlap with the Redknapp years, or was that even before that?
Yeah, Champions League.
Perfect.
I think one of the things I wrote was to do with my trip to the Bernabeu. So.
Perfect. We'll come on to that a little bit later. You're also expert question giver on the pod. You're the one that basically means that we run over an hour every single time.
It's not my fault if you can't.
Basically, this is a lesson to everyone listening. If you ask good questions,
you get on the podcast.
You're on the pod.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for having me.
It's a meritocracy.
Exactly. That's what we like to promote on here on the Tottenham Way. Yeah, let's get going. So this is a Harry Redknapp special. I think, really, it was kind of the most successful period that we've had, certainly, in our lifetimes, I would say. We're all relatively the same sort of age, aren't we? So
never had it so good.
Well, this is it. Yeah, exactly. Going to ask you to cast your mind back to 2008. The klaxons are still a thing. you know, we've just lost three games on the bounce. We lost to Portsmouth 2-0, we lost to Hull at home 1-0, and we lost to Stoke 2-1, a game which involved Bale and Dawson being sent off and Gomez crying. It couldn't get a lot worse for Tottenham Hotspur in October 2008. We sacked Ramos on the back of those results, on the back of 2 points from 8 games. We brought in, pretty much immediately, we brought in Harry Redknapp. Let's go around the table. What did you think, Ollie, when we brought in Harry Redknapp, what was your initial thoughts? Because we were banging trouble at the time, weren't we? And were you confident that he was going to be able to get us out of trouble? Do you think we were even in trouble?
Well, he had the moniker Houdini Harry, or Harry Houdini, and I thought, you know, that's essentially why he was brought in. We were in a really bad place at the time. And, you know, he came with a good reputation. I think he just won the Cup with Portsmouth, albeit with a heavily financed team. Yeah, you know, I was kind of excited because it kind of, you know, it suggested that we were at least going to have a bit of fun, if nothing else. Go down having fun. But we'd have fun. So I was pretty optimistic. I was quite happy with that at the time, yeah.
Jim?
Yeah, I remember being a bit surprised, but optimistic. Ramos, after we won the Cup, which was one of my best days in a pub ever, we just didn't play. We didn't play, and we never really had a pattern of play under Ramos that made you feel confident that we were going anywhere with him. And the start of that season was just terrible, albeit we had lost our two talismen in Berbatov and King.
Yeah.
So,
Do you think that's a little bit forgotten when we look at the end of Ramos? You've got to consider that, you know, he lost.
Who did he have up front? Pavlyuchenko and Fraser
Ben,
Campbell
and Ben. Yeah,
Ben.
You know, you essentially lose what?
All our goals.
A season.
Yeah,
all our goals, pretty much. We didn't get a lot from midfield. Genius was around and Mal Bronk, but you're looking at five a season. So, I mean, Dan, do you think that's sort of an underestimated factor in Ramos's downfall? But then, you know, is it to Redknapp's eternal credit that he managed to come into a team with one of the three strikers that he had at his disposal was Fraser Campbell?
Well,
and did manage to get something out of it? Got to play again.
Well, I think that squad was a lot better than 2 points from eight. I mean, we all know that squad was far, far better than 2 points from eight games. So, I think we'll come on to it, but I wouldn't heap too much credit on Redknapp for turning it around. I think
it
kind of needed a fresh approach and a fresh face and just... I mean, it was interesting. I watched, in preparation for this, I actually did some preparation. I watched... I normally don't. Not that you fuckers have to.
Just a big no, shot.
As in, I normally don't do anything. I just turn up. Anyway, I watched this Harry Redknapp documentary on YouTube. It's 1 hour. I mean, it's not brilliant, but it's quite good. There's no kind of commentary or narration or anything. It's just someone's cut together like a load of clips, interviews with Harry when he was first appointed, clips from his first season, post match interviews, all that kind of thing. Just kind of telling the story of his reign in words and footage. And there's an interview with Levy as soon as Harry's appointed, and he basically says, I wanted to stick with Ramos, I really wanted to work out long term, but I felt like a drastic change had to be made, and I felt like, and that made me think that Well, thinking back as well, I remember thinking when Redknapp was appointed, people at the club are scared we're going to get relegated.
Yeah.
Because as Ollie says, that's what Redknapp was. He was a guy who got you out of relegation trouble. He wasn't a guy that got you top four or won you cups. He was a guy that saved you from the drop.
Well, all the managerial jobs that he's got, well, the managerial job he got on the back of that, he went to QPR because they had the exact same thought process, didn't they? They were looking at...
Yeah, I mean, that's what Southampton did before that and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But, you know, he seemed to have, I don't know if it was PR or if it was legitimate, but he seemed to have built up this reputation for being a kind of relegation survival specialist.
QPR were a mess though, weren't they?
Yeah, but then I often think there's a lot of parallels there in that they had good... There was good players... Perhaps, you know,
but not Modric-esque.
No, true.
Players,
true.
Nowhere near that good.
So you know, Redknapp came in. It's nearly 7 years ago to the day. Actually, it was something like 26th of October. I say something like it's actually written down. 26th of October, he comes in. The first game, he didn't actually oversee it. We had Clive Allen on the touchline, but it was Bolton, and we beat them 2-0.
Pav scored a good header.
Pav scored, and then Bent scored in the second half. I think it might have been a penalty.
David Bentley crossed.
Bentley. Who, you know, Bentley was a big money signing, so I think there was a lot of, sort of pressure on Redknapp to get something out of him. 3 days later, we went to the Emirates, and he got something out of him. Bentley scores from 40 yards, but it's not the story, is it? Like that was a hit and hope. We were 4-2 down with nothing to play. We had 3 minutes of added time to play. Did you guys watch it? Do you remember watching before? You must remember watching
it. Yeah. I remember watching it.
Had you... Because obviously I'd given up all hope. And I definitely did. And I remember thinking at 4-3, you know what? If we come away from the Emirates somewhere where we've just been getting a battering every single season, if we come away from this at 4-3, that's a good survival ethic, you know, move on to the next game, we might get 3 points or whatever. But drawing that game in the manner that we did, it was that the shoots of what we were going to see in the next few years, do you think?
I was in the Gate pub watching that. I only saw the second half, but it's near Ali Pali and it was full of Arsenal fans, and there was only about three of us Spurs fans in there. And I was with my mate, who's a massive gooner. And when Aaron Lennon scored, I went absolutely mental.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the final whistle because I had to leave the pub.
Yeah.
But it was great. It just changed the mentality, I think, of the whole season. No, we're not just going to get smashed every game. And the belief that Harry instilled then went on.
From there. I mean,
it definitely buoyed us, didn't it? You know, and I think, you know, like you're saying, everyone had given up hope. Lennon's running over and celebrating in front of empty seats.
Yeah, it was.
They all came piling down.
That was so good. There's footage of that going in, and obviously, all of us, we've all watched that loads of times, haven't we? You just revisit that when you want to cheer yourself up a bit. And there's this one gigantic man, he's so fat, but I love him. I'd love to meet him because I'd love to give him a big old hug. But he's on his own and he's watching it and he's desolate and he's obviously down and he's obviously seen this so many times before. And he's sitting there and you see it at the post and he gets up and he doesn't move. He's in the same position, but he basically just stands up. And when Lennon scores, he jumps up so far that all of his clothes fall up with him. Like, they all ride up with him. And you just see this gigantic belly in the middle of the away end at Arsenal. And then he runs probably faster than he's ever run in his whole life down to the bottom just to celebrate. It was such a great moment. And I think, like you say, with it buoying us. And
I mean, the Bentley interview afterwards, if there's any evidence of... I know he's not everyone's sort of cup of tea, but if there's evidence of a squad being lifted by result, it's just that post-match interview.
Yeah.
Because normally, even after a huge win, you know, this isn't a sort of criticism, but you see Kane and people after smashing Man City, after smashing Chelsea, they're media trained, they keep it together. But it was like that was like a footballer who couldn't contain
how he was feeling. Ludicrous, wasn't it? You don't see that it just doesn't happen. But it seemed to be that under Redknapp, these things were maybe going to start to happen. 3 days later, we played Liverpool at home. I think we went 1-0 down. Did we? This was Pad's last-minute winner. Basically, the point of all this is to say, in a week, we'd gone from 2 points in 8 games, and yeah. Suddenly we had 7 points from Bolton at home, Arsenal away, and Liverpool at home. And bear in mind, Liverpool the season before nearly won the title as well, I think. Or no, that season they nearly won the title. We were one of 2 defeats that they had that entire season, and it was Redknapp's 3rd game, and we had Pav scoring.
That was under Rafa, yeah?
Yeah, yes, it was, yeah. They lost 2 games all season. One was to us, one was to Middlesbrough. It's just kind of ludicrous that we
I remember Pat's winner. It was
good touch. Yeah, it was a good little finish. That
was it a deliberate touch? Because I feel like a lot of Pat's good touches were like. I think did he mean that?
I think he tried to cross it.
I liked Pavlyuchenko.
Terrible footballer.
Ultimate showreel footballer.
He couldn't run and he couldn't control the ball, but fucking hell, he could hit it from 20 yards.
Yeah, he could.
Occasionally.
So yeah, let's try and finish off. We turned it around. I don't think we were ever in massive danger of going down. I don't know if you guys
I disagree. I think we were. If a change hadn't been made, I think the players were just done with Ramos. There's a lot of stories about him banning ketchup and stuff like that. You don't take Tom Huddleston's ketchup away.
They're
going to the pasta shop, weren't they?
They weren't allowed a sauce on their pasta. I read something that Jermaine Genus, who's actually a really
good pundit, I read that a few years ago. On Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, covered on the Tottenham way. But
not
my shit.
I don't, you know, I'm not saying that Redknapp came in and pulled the party streamers out and told everyone to have a hot dog and, you know, get on with things. But
you say that, but there's a rumour. There's a rumour that his first team meeting, he got a bottle of ketchup, slammed it down on the table, and said, "Tuck in, boys," or something. I can't remember where did you. Do you remember where you read that, Jim?
I can't, but I do. I've read it a few times.
I can almost believe it.
Let's believe it.
Yeah. It's gospel. It happened.
You know, we like these little stories. We need some of them to be true, and I'm totally on board for believing that. I think, Jim, I probably agree that we were maybe in danger before Redknapp took over, of just really getting to that point of, do you remember, you know, West Ham and I think Newcastle went down that year, and the same year, and everyone was talking about them being too good to go down, and we were starting to get towards that category.
Shearer took them down, didn't he?
The last 8 games. So I think we were maybe starting to wedge towards that, but in January we spent quite a lot of money bringing back Robbie Keane. Chimbonda, we brought back Defoe as well,
Palacios
as well. And I was going to ask you, Ollie, about Palacios, what it gave to us. Because I remember Redknapp talking about how we were soft and we needed somebody just that was prepared to put their foot on the ball when we're
Palacios defending. Could play a game of football by himself, really, couldn't he? And it involves him giving the ball away and then winning that ball back. And then giving it away again. And that is essentially how he played. And he had that edge to him that he was a tough tackler. And you're right, he was adding a bite that we were lacking.
Yeah.
And his first season, he was incredible.
He was a good footballer as
that tragedy happened. Yeah. He was fantastic.
Well, I heard that in Honduras, he's known as the magician on the basis that he once scored a goal from behind the halfway line. He's, or the wizard or something. He's maintained that.
That's great.
He scored one for us from the halfway line, but the ref blew the final whistle
as
it was going
that.
In.
Oh, great shout.
Was it against Bolton? Was it the game we were talking about off the pod where Gary Cahill was sent off?
I think you might be right. Yeah.
And I was behind the goal and I was cheering.
I remember this. You know what? I've got a feeling it might have been Chelsea.
Could have been. I've got no idea,
we'll try and be quick on Palacios, but
much needed.
I think it was much needed at the time, and the way that it ended for Palacios,
maybe it was against Arsenal, wasn't it?
And do you remember that tackle? Yeah. That tackle, that, like, when he stood there
stood his ground and he was like, fucking
and
come
whoever
on.
It was, whoever it was didn't know where to go, did he? And he just turned back on himself and Palacios just died.
I've never seen a footballer just root himself to the spot and just wait
weird,
for someone to approach.
Did you ever play British Bulldog at school? And you know in school there was always that little bit of a mental kid who like really fucking wanted it. You know, it was just a game of Bulldog, but he really wanted to rub it in maths in the next lesson. And he just went... just stood there and planted himself. This is exactly what Palacios did in that game. It's so horrible and gutting what happened to Rat Ertel.
Yeah, it's so horrible.
Especially when you hear the stories about him being in the hotel after
such a nice man
game,
as well.
he didn't want to wake anyone up. And,
but he's still contracted to Stoke, isn't
he? Yeah, he fell apart totally for him. Yeah,
I thought he was released last year.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, such a shame. But
either way.
He couldn't pass, though. I mean, truth be told, he couldn't pass.
He couldn't tackle
that.
You say that. Towards
the end
of the...
Do you think he'd get in a Pochettino team?
Do you think he'd get in a Pochettino team?
Just
no. He could get booked on 38 minutes every single day. There's just no way that he'd get in that team.
Palacios and Sandro at the San Siro is all I'll say.
Yeah, that's... We'll
I may have
to
come
it,
too far.
Stick to the running order.
We will move on to that. But the 2008-09 season, we actually finished... Eighth. We finished the season with something like three or four wins out of six. I might be wrong, but it just seemed to be that crest of the wave was just starting to build. And we took that into...
And we got to the cup final.
Of course we did. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to mention that. We did get to the cup
Jamie
final.
Jamie
O'Hara.
Our Gerard.
Jamie, I'll stand in by that.
He's having a revival at Fulham now, that's all I say.
Is he at Fulham?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He got like Championship Player of the Month.
Yeah, he's been playing well.
Wow.
Yeah. So
in there with Scotty
Park. We might have made a mistake.
Well, time will tell. But we did get to the cup final. Let's have a quick minute on that. I mean, we got there, was that this season we beat Burnley? And we nearly really messed it up.
It was a bit of a village run to the final.
He didn't want to be in it, did he, Redknapp?
No, he had contempt for the we know he had massive contempt for the UEFA Cup, and he wasn't particularly big on the League Cup. I can't really remember. I went to the final against Man United, and we did all right.
The only thing I remember.
It was a Man United with Ronaldo, Rooney.
Yeah.
And Tevez?
This is where the myth came from that Lennon had Evra in his pocket. This is where the myth started.
The who had what?
About Lennon being brilliant against Evra.
That's
one game.
That's true.
I don't agree. Lennon was always brilliant against Evra.
He wasn't.
He wasn't.
He had
three or four class games against Evra.
Out of about 12. I'm not having it. Evra just got the measure of him because it's Aaron Lennon. So,
do you think?
In the end, he did.
It's time for us to have a...
Well, you're wrong, but...
The only thing that I remember about that final was Pavlyuchenko took a free kick from about 35 yards out and nearly cleared the stadium.
Yeah.
It was dreadful.
Yeah.
He managed to last a good... horrible.
Was it Ben Foster in goal for them as well?
Yeah, and he had an iPod about who put their penalty where, which is why he saved Bentley's and O'Hara hit it wide, or was it the other way around?
No, didn't he save them both?
No, one went wide.
Carrick scored, didn't he?
Fuck United.
I was annoyed
about
that.
But we
and Giggs scored.
Yeah.
You knew we were going to lose.
So.
I mean, as soon as penalties came, I was like, right, well, that's it.
But it was very upsetting.
Never mind. things were doing. We were getting better, certainly. We moved into the next season, 2009-2010 season. In the summer, we signed. Crouch, just after the season started, we signed Bassong, we signed Cranchar. This is when we were like harvesting Portsmouth pretty much for anything
they
that
they
had.
They could afford him anyway.
Well,
did
we get Cabal back then as well?
In January, we got Cabal as well.
Should have bought that land around Pompey's ground as well. That guy's made a killing out.
Yeah, he has.
Developed it.
I don't know, Tesco or something.
My mate's been Sainsbury's, aren't we? We're Sainsbury's.
Yeah,
they're not that, that big a club.
That first game against Liverpool, we played them at home. We won 2-1, and Asamoah Gyan scored that ridiculous half volley from the edge of the area. Like it was a free kick, went into the wall. And again, this was Liverpool last season had nearly won the title, but for a couple of collapses that they had, or United just rinsing them in the end for the last 11
Such
games.
A shame.
Yeah, what a shame. But I remember coming home from that game and the radio, on the radio, they were talking about how is this Tottenham's year for fourth place and things like that. I mean, do you remember thinking at the beginning of that season that we were at a chance? Because, you know, last season we were getting up to February, March and we were still looking at relegation, weren't we? What, do you remember being confident or do you remember just thinking...
I don't think I've ever felt like that. Maybe under AVB, in my grand illusions, have I thought we'll get fourth this year. I don't think I've ever started to see it. Maybe I'm a pessimist in regards to where we're going to finish. But I was just like, top six, you know, I'd be happy with that as always.
We were a good team then, weren't we? We were really fine.
I don't think we knew how good we were. Though,
I think
maybe,
Yeah, I think it was the next year that I started to think, now we're a good team. Because we'd obviously finished fourth.
Yeah.
And we'd signed Rafa as well. And that season was one of the best... my favourite seasons of watching Spurs.
Yeah.
But that season that we actually qualified, not until the end of the season where we had Chelsea, Arsenal, both at home, and Bale destroyed
them
both.
I'm with Jim.
Yeah.
I think, as a Spurs fan, I don't know about the rest of us, but I've definitely got a kind of ingrained mentality of it's going to go wrong at some point, or we're not that good, or that I almost don't want to dream. So I can't really remember exactly what I thought at the beginning of that season, but it wasn't until we beat Arsenal and Chelsea back to back, and then we had Man United and we were very unlucky.
We lost,
yeah.
Well, Cotter was playing right back. You're not unlucky if
Well,
was playing right back.
But
you get what you deserve. If not playing
left back.
He was good.
We weren't outclassed, is what I'm getting at.
No,
and it was like that run. And if you do that, if you beat Arsenal, Chelsea, and Man City, then you know we deserve Champions League football.
I think that
it wasn't until we got it that I was like, we deserve that.
Yeah.
We're good enough for that.
Even in regards to that though, when we went away and got absolutely hammered by Sunderland away.
Yeah,
it was 3-1 of the day.
Three penalties though, wasn't it? Ben scored.
Oh, but
so
I forgot
two of them.
It
should have been like 5-1.
Missed a couple, didn't it?
Yeah, ludicrous.
And I.
That was
I
in the middle
thinking,
of
where it's done. That's
yeah,
it.
That was
the
in the middle of.
As a general point, that was quite typical of Harry's reign, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we were terrible away until ABB came.
I disagree. No, we were terrible away until Redknapp, because that first against in that Redknapp first. Just to go back to that first season, we went away to places like Blackburn and like Hull. We went away. Woodgate scored in the last minute. It just started to turn that mentality around just a little bit. Because in this...
You don't have to agree with him, by the way.
Well, no, I'm just... I'm
politely
nodding.
Yeah. I'm seeing
but
where he's going.
The 2009-10 season, we went away to Chelsea, we lost. We went away to Arsenal, we lost. Arsenal, we lost 2 goals in 45 seconds. We went away to United, we lost. You know, we went away to Liverpool, we lost. We lost 2-0. All these games, we went away and we lost, but we won those shitty little games.
But we
know?
Also went away to Arsenal, went 2-0 up after 9 minutes and then lost 5-2.
Again, we'll come
two
on
years
to
in a row.
We'll move on. We'll come on to it. But the 2009-10 season was weird. I do agree in that it wasn't until Christmas that you started to think, are we actually going to do anything here? And because we might as well talk about it. The Arsenal and Chelsea games happened in the space of a week, and we lost to Portsmouth, didn't we, that Sunday in the semi-final?
I thought the season
was
over.
And we should have won that, and we'd have won the final, in my opinion.
It was ludicrous. At that point, it was like, I think, knowing the fixtures we had ahead, most people thought fourth. I think we all had it in our heads that fourth. We weren't kind of expecting fourth.
Yeah.
It was a kind of unlikely dream, but the cup final was on. It was like, we're playing Portsmouth. They're in, what were they, bottom or second bottom?
They were bottom.
They were bottom.
Yeah,
they were in
the administration.
Like, this is absolutely our cup. And then when that went... and then when that went tits up, it was like, right, season's over. And for Redknapp to have pulled the squad back from that disappointment to win three of those four massive games.
It's ludicrous.
And there was a Bolton game in there as well, wasn't there? A 2-1 win.
No, we won 1-0 Huddleston.
1-0
Fuck
one.
Oh,
I remember. Yeah, to win that game, it was extraordinary. It was such a good end to the season.
Yeah.
And we really deserved it.
What do you remember from the Arsenal-Chelsea games, Ollie? No, I was battered for most of it, but by that Saturday,
the Gomez saves stand out for me.
It was really like saves.
What a nice man as well.
Yeah, yeah, such a giant. Yeah,
what but chocolate wrists, but lovely.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's those, a fantastic those saves shot, against Arsenal were.
He was brilliant that season.
He was
brilliant.
He was, but yeah, that again because we brought in. Didn't we bring in Tony Parks? Didn't Redknapp bring in Tony Parks?
Yeah,
and everyone attributed Gomez's. And also he brought in Cudicini and there was that added bit of competition for him, which it means, you know, it can't be on the line.
He was a pretty decent player.
He was a successful player as well. He'd done well at Chelsea. And
but he was happy to sit on the bench there for
a
while.
That always
makes me think, it's a bit like Vorm. Like, why is Michel Vorm happy to sit on our bench?
Maybe. The backup keepers are very weird. Well, it's a weird position, isn't it? Because a lot of them are happy to take big money and not play that much.
But Michel Vorm's an international, right?
Cudicini wasn't, was he? He could have played for England.
I remember that.
Great days.
So can Almunia.
Oh, yeah.
There was actually, do you remember that?
Yeah. Tottenham legends. And Arteta.
Desperate for England.
Arteta as well, yeah.
Arteta.
Almunia.
Lads, let's bring it back. right, sorry. So those Arsenal guys, we obviously, the Danny Rose volley.
Fucking
glorious, isn't it? Yeah, and do you know what? The
it's
Arsenal
sex
game.
In my house.
Yeah,
it really is.
You know what I remember vividly from that game is
Ollie using it as a sex.
Yeah. I was doing Ollie at the time. Before the game, Redknapp's pre-match interview. The interviewer asked him about Danny Rose, and Redknapp said. He said, like, oh, yeah, he's got a secret weapon. And then Redknapp sort of stopped himself and went, oh, but I don't want to tell you about that.
I remember that.
And I was like, yeah, what's this secret weapon Danny Rose has got? And Danny Rose was started on the right wing.
Right winger, yeah.
Yeah, and the secret weapon was that he was left-footed. And Redknapp was still asking which weapon. It's just classic Harry. He's like, they won't know he's left-footed. So obviously the idea was that Danny Rose would start on the right wing, cut inside on his left foot and shoot, basically. Just do the Andros Townsend. It was like, Redknapp was like, I'm embracing inverted wingers here. No one knows about this.
Yeah.
But obviously the goal he scored, he was sort of left of centre, wasn't he?
I don't care where he was.
Yeah, but
he was in the right place.
He was so fucking great.
Can I put out there that maybe Almunia should have saved it?
Oh, he could, of course he should have saved it. He's a goalkeeper.
if they had
no goalkeeper on the pitch, I would still expect a defender to head that away. He had his hands available to him, and it still went through.
But he just punched it, and it was so unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, no one thought Danny Rose was going to just belt it into the back of the net.
Put it this way, that was 2010... We're now in 2015, and still, when the ball comes out from a corner and Danny Rose picks it up, everyone.
Shoot!
That is the legacy that Danny Rose will finish with. He got taken off at half-time as well.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't actually very good.
Oh, he was terrible.
He's our left back now. He's playing on the right wing.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale was our left back. Wasn't he?
Yes. He was living off.
And he plays the right wing for Real Madrid now.
That's true. Harry was a visionary. We've got to say this. But just moving on that Chelsea game, we'll move on to the City game in a minute because. That really was something else. But that Chelsea game, I remember, we won 2-1, we could have won 6 or 7. Bale had at least 4 chances. Like, he did an overhead kick from the... Like, it looped up. It wasn't proper scissor kick.
Yeah.
It was, like, sort of looping it up. And I think it was checking goal, wasn't it? And he just had a nightmare. And Terry got sent off as well because Bale just had him on toast.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. And he got 2 yellows. The first one was the penalty. He got a yellow for the handball. And then Terry dived in.
Then Bale got away from him in like the final third.
Yeah. You can see a conversation as well. If you see the clips, Terry goes to him, you're a diving cunt.
Yeah,
and Bale goes, got there first. And that was it.
That Bell is a diving cunt. But
I didn't realise
we could
drop a C-bomb on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, bring it on. Yeah.
We've got an iTunes tag that's like explicit content.
Yeah. So it's pretty much permanent. That was amazing. But let's talk City. That City game. Did anyone go? Did you go?
I was in Spain at the time.
You were in Spain, Dan?
I've told the story before. I had a gathering of Spurs fans at university.
Oh, that's right.
And I got the nosebleed.
That's right, yeah.
And the goal went in. Yeah. Jumped out in his huddle and came out and there's blood everywhere. And
it's gone. Worth it. Totally worth it.
We've never been this high in the league before.
Yeah. Ollie, did you go?
No, I didn't. I was in my girlfriend's bedroom.
Ah! I tell you what.
She's going to be really
you
happy.
You had a worst time. You had a worse time than me.
I was listening to it on the radio.
Do you know that scene in Trainspotting where
was it a bit like that?
Tell me it was like that.
It wasn't even
just say
that,
it was like that.
That cool. It was less cool than that. You know.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, all right then.
Five
so
lives.
Anyone that did watch the
that's
game,
it's a disgrace. It's the top four final, whatever it's been.
It was, yeah. They loved it.
I did interrupt to put the radio on.
I was in a restaurant in Spain with my father-in-law who doesn't like football, and it was my missus, her grand's 80th birthday party. So we're in this posh restaurant, but I could see a bar opposite had the game on. So I was sort of kept nipping out and was watching it basically.
Yeah.
And I heard a noise, and I just got up from my meal and fucking ran over the road and came back with beer all over me. And fucking scored. We're going to be in the fucking Champions League.
Worth it.
And it didn't go down very well, but fucking hell, we beat City away.
I punched a hole in my mate's ceiling. He's an Arsenal fan, a very loose Arsenal fan.
Fuck his ceiling.
He was a loose Arsenal fan. Like he basically didn't want City to win because they had all the money. He would have preferred to see us. Wouldn't have said it out loud, but he would have preferred to see us win.
Interesting.
And the ball, Cabal beats Bellamy down the right, puts it in. Martin Fulop decides that he's no longer a goalkeeper and would like to push the ball into the middle of the area, and Crouch just needs to stick his head on it, and that's it. And it,
you know, Fulham, he was on an emergency loan, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And he actually had a cracking game up to that point. I think he made a really good save to Bale.
Yeah.
He just made a couple of quite sharp stops. So
yeah.
We were on top.
Equally.
But I think we hit the post as well. Did Bale hit the post? Was it Crouch?
One or
someone,
other,
someone.
But Gomez has had a good game as well. Looking back at it,
it was a good game.
I'd love to see it again in 90 minutes because it was a really good game of football. And King had a goal disallowed as well, which all I remember is 9 minutes after, because it was about 81 minutes the crowd scored.
But
I just shook for 10 minutes, just the fear, knowing what Tottenham Hotspur are about. We could have lost 3-1, and I'd have gone, yeah.
But remind me, was a draw all right for us that game?
I think so.
A draw, but we had to win at Burnley if we drew. Yeah.
If we won, we went 4 points clear, is that right?
We won game over. Yeah.
And we ended up losing at Burnley.
Yeah, we lost
at
Burnley because we gave up. Yeah.
That game was quite harry because a draw was enough.
He said there's no for it.
Yeah, we went for it that game.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed in the San Siro a season later that he was quite happy to, he knew how to contain the team and he knew how to sort of stack up the midfield and play two banks of four, but we really didn't do that against City. We went for it and we tried to win that game, and I think we deserved to win it.
Yeah.
And that was
kind of a good side.
That was kind of quite fitting. I think he knew that Arsenal and Chelsea had been beaten and there was no reason.
The extra voices you're hearing are Spurs fans who are delighted by us talking about the season. But yeah, you know, in a space of 18 months, we'd gone from finishing 7th and being under threat of relegation, possibly, finishing 4th, and deservedly so as well. We weren't... I don't think anyone had any doubt that we deserved to win it, because Liverpool were shit, weren't they, that year? And they'd really fallen off, and everyone said, you know, Liverpool dropped out, someone's got to take advantage. Man City spent something like £80 to £100 million that summer, and we still beat them to that fourth place.
It was Marquise that spent it.
No, Mancini was. Oh, Mancini came was halfway through.
Yeah, Mancini was definitely the boss for that cup,
yeah, for that game.
Cup four. Yeah. I was going to say the top four final
against one.
Massively wanky.
But
so I remember Redknapp. I just kind of have this image of the final whistle, and Redknapp shaking Mancini's
yeah,
hands,
and then doing the thing to Levy.
Yeah, and Mancini was wearing that fucking scarf he used to wear, yeah. So, and he just turns away.
I forgot about that scarf. Yeah. I forgot that. And then David Bentley tipped the water bucket on him and was never seen again.
Yeah, I love that. It was just like, oh, Bante, you're fucking out of here. So I'm just like,
he looked really pissed off, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't look
pissed off. I thought that'd be the sort of thing he loved.
Mm. Yeah, I did, but then it's, I don't know, I think...
That's the thing with Harry, I think he's a bit...
Do you think he maybe got to the point where he thought, you know what, I need to be starting to take a bit seriously. I need to be seen as a serious manager.
I'm not a Wheeler dealer, I'm a fucking football manager.
Probably, yeah, but it's certainly, you know, he just finished fourth with Tottenham Hotspur. You know, that's something that... It was unprecedented, of course it was. You know, Martin Yole was the only one that got close, and he could have had the same sort of reaction. He said, well, hold on, if I'm finishing fourth with Spurs, treat me as a serious manager. Yole didn't manage it, Redknapp did. So, you know, next season was the Champions League season. I don't think I can remember a single game from that season from the Premier League.
Nope.
Anyone?
Did we beat Arsenal again at home?
No, 3-3. Oh, I'll tell you what, we won
3-2. You can remember one then.
Yeah. 3-3 at home and we won 3-2 away. Cabool's.
Oh yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah.
2-0 down.
Clearly.
Let's go try and go chronological in this season. So the first
should we talk about Van der Vaart? I feel like we should talk about Van der Vaart.
Well no, because what I was gonna say is because the Young Boys came first.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we played.
I can't.
Ollie, you were the serious one in there.
We've all got our limits.
Young Boys of Bern was the match that came first.
I blame the pitch.
Do you blame the pitch or do you blame Michael Dawson playing 40 yards off of the goal?
It was the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was the pitch.
I love Michael Dawson.
Oh no, I love Michael Dawson. I've got nothing against it, but don't play him as a high line on a pitch that's made of fucking flan.
That was. I remember seeing the ball bounce and thinking, that's not right. That shouldn't happen. So I blame the pitch. Michael Dawson is absolved, but it was proper Spursy.
We were 3-0 down after about half an hour, and it could have been 5, couldn't it? If I remember rightly, I don't know who was playing up front, but he was having a field day against Basel.
I think it was the pitch.
You've got to play what you. They've got to play on the same.
So they were basically playing. Their centre halves were just hoofing the ball toward Dawson, and if he didn't get his head on it and it bounced, it was a goal. That was basically it.
Dawson and Basson started.
Dawson Basson.
Basson scored, didn't he?
Yeah, Basson scored the goal just before half time. Then Pav scored a ridiculous goal.
Without that goal, I think.
That was crucial.
Yeah, we'd have been in trouble.
It's in the 90th minute or something like that.
Yeah, it was very close. I think we'd done well to stem the tide. And then we had them at home and we won 4-0. It was fairly straightforward. That was a really great night. There was a lot of flags and stuff like that. And it sounds a bit sort of pathetic, but it was just great. It was kind of like, you know, Everton had broken that top four. And then they
fucked it. That, wasn't it, for them or something?
Fiorentina, why have I got it in my head?
I think it's Sociedad.
It was a fairly decent team, but
not a step.
Doesn't he manage Sociedad?
Yeah, that's ironic. I didn't realise it was them.
Possibly.
Just that Moyes is the boss now.
Moyes is Sociedad.
It may well have been. But it felt like as if...
First goal was crucial, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Had to come soon.
Yeah.
And luckily we got it early.
We did it. And that, to be honest, Bale sort of really took off then, but... In the league, we drew Man City at home first game of the season.
We murdered them.
Yeah,
absolutely
we did.
Murdered
and
them.
Well.
I remember
really
that
good
game.
But the just before the transfer window closed, we lost 1-0 to Wigan.
Always lost 1-0 to Wigan.
Roddy Yeager scored. Yeah, it was.
Was that the year after we smashed them 9-1?
Yeah. Yeah, which we probably should have mentioned a little bit earlier, but. Standard. Routine. Whatever. But I think it was like 24 hours after the Wigan game, the window was shutting. And we all know that we got towards the end of the window, we kind of knew what we needed. We just needed that kind of that bit of class that would have taken us above the level that we got to last season. And we got it, didn't we, in Van der Vaart. And however it happened, do you remember how it happened, Dan?
Was
it,
I saw the Harry Redknapp documentary I watched today, Harry says how it happened. He got a call from Levy at like 4 p.m. with the deadline shutting at midnight, and he said, we might be able to get Van der Vaart on loan. He said, I've got a present for you. We might be able to get him on loan. And Harry claims he was like non-committal about it. Like, oh yeah, I didn't really want any more play. So I just said, I'll leave it to you, chairman or whatever. And then apparently a few hours later, he just came back and was like, the loan deal's not on, but we might be able to get him permanently. And that was it. I think Real Madrid wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't going to play.
He wasn't in their like 25 yeah, squad
they're,
away.
They're so like they just signed a Galactico. Who they just signed in that summer?
They were getting rid of. They were getting rid of all the Dutchmen, weren't they? Whoever had signed, they had like Royston Drenthe. Do you remember him?
Yeah, Robin.
They got rid of. They had Schneider. Schneider and Van der Vaart as well.
Okay,
sure.
I can't remember why they had all these Dutch players, but they did.
Did they have a Dutch manager?
I remember.
I can't
possibly,
remember.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, their loss, well, probably wasn't a loss to them, to be honest, but it was a sign of things that we'd signed. He was a world-class player. He just played in a World Cup final. You know, in 2010, and he was captain in the second half. That's right. And he played central defensive midfield, which was
bizarre.
In retrospect, seeing him play for Tottenham was suicide. Really. What do you remember, Ollie, about us signing Van der Vaart? Like, was it?
I mean, it was exciting. We've been used to kind of signing players that were, you know, they've got potential. And they could be great, you know. We had a Berbatov, Modric, even Bale to an extent when we signed him, had that kind of wrapping around him. And here it was, a bona fide quality player going, yeah, I'll sign for Tottenham.
Mm.
And that doesn't happen very often.
It's, I mean, can you think of another properly world class finished article that Spurs have signed?
David's.
But that, well,
well,
that's
I
was thinking of David, but he was over the hill when we got him.
Yeah.
As much so, I
love him.
Fantastic
signing.
Yeah, as much as he was a great signing.
Much needed,
Klinsmann. Yeah, I mean, before Van der Vaart, it was probably Klinsmann.
Even Klinsmann was on the way down, though, wasn't he?
Well, not the first time we signed him.
Certainly 30.
The first time we signed him.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he was phenomenal, Klinsmann. Probably my favourite ever signing that we've made.
Yeah, we were still looking at being that team that...
I mean, he went to Bayern Munich afterwards, didn't he?
Yeah, but Bayern then weren't what they are now.
Yeah, I think.
And then he came back within
a
year or
so. But he was a world-class signing.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I mean...
And I think his debut... I can't remember which way around it was, but...
Sheffield Wednesday.
No, sorry, Van der Vaart.
Oh, sorry.
Can we
make this a different mod?
Different mod.
A Jerry Francis era.
Van der Vaart's debut was either Werder Bremen away or West Brom away. It happened one way or another, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And Werder Bremen, he went off at half time because he had a hamstring injury, which was classic Van der Vaart. But you could tell immediately that he was going to change everything, wasn't he, about us. And the thing I was going to ask you guys about was when he came in, Redknapp said he's really excited about having him in because he's going to create all these chances for Jermaine Defoe. He comes in, scores a few goals on his debut. Like, he scored against Wolves on his debut, didn't he? Oh, that's right, yeah, Wolves, sorry. His home debut. Yeah, he loved it. Scored against Wolves. He got an assist against Werder Bremen. I think he got an assist against West Brom as well. He was talking about him being this sort of a perfect foil for Defoe. And in the end, it turned out that Crouch was the best thing for him because Bart scored all the goals that Defoe was supposed to. And Crouch was perfect for him because he was the one that was, you know, the target man, wasn't he?
Well,
so
a great foil, weren't they? You know?
Yeah, it was.
It did just work. Maybe more by accident than design, but he just added that bit of genuine class, that bit of composure. I think,
yeah, I was about to say that word.
Yeah.
In terms of one of his main qualities was just composure in the box. Like, I remember that this goal, I think it was against Villa. Where
Villa away.
Where the ball just bounces across him and he just waits and waits and then just...
So gross.
I was going to mention the same thing.
Is that the counter-attack one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different one. It's like I was about to act it out on a fucking podcast.
Go on.
The ball kind of comes across him and he... I don't know what he does. He just
he dummies or takes with his left and he commits the defender.
Yeah,
and he just riles up for him and he... Just
4 yards
out as well.
It was still a classy finish.
The home game is if it bounced up for him, he smashes it in, and I think it was 2-0. The away game was
Defoe got sent off.
Yeah, I think that's the season after,
and that's the counter attacking goal you were talking about.
But that counter attacking goal is quite relevant, I think, because that was I remember saying this to you before, so maybe it was on a pod, but that was like Harry's Tottenham in a goal.
Yeah.
It was
With Bale.
It was an unbelievable touch. I think Van der Vaart started the move.
Yeah.
A little touch into Bale, and then Bale just
charged.
He's on the run and he's unstoppable.
Lennon committed aside a few players.
Yeah, into Lennon who'd stretched the defence a little bit. Back to Van der Vaart. Finish. Yeah. Like perfect.
It was
perfect. I love that game. I remember watching that game.
The team's attacked us, wasn't it, back then?
Yeah.
Well, we were. A counter-attacking team, and I think that this 2010-11 season with the Champions League, I think our first proper game was Werder Bremen 2-2, went 2-0 up, drew 2-2. Second one was 20, and they just won the Dutch league.
Chadley scored.
That he did. Yeah, that's right. But
Chadley scored a free kick.
I didn't know that.
Did we win 4-1?
I don't know.
Yeah, Cuff, I think it was 4-1.
Bale scored. It seemed really routine, didn't it, that game? And it sort of set a precedent of just teams just didn't know what to expect from us. And we were the surprise package that year. And we really could have done anything. You know, it wouldn't surprise anyone for us to get to the semis, the final, whatever. It was that ludicrous. But
I mean, I think the other one of the overall feelings I have about the Harry era was that at the time it was hard for me to, because I'm a Tottenham fan, I've got this inbuilt sort of pessimism or feeling it's going to go wrong. It was hard for me to sort of appreciate that we had like a world class player in Modric, a world class player in Van der Vaart, a world class player in Bale. It was quite hard to grasp that.
And forget the King.
Yeah, I actually did know the King as well. And look at the time, I was like, "Oh, we've got no right to be here." You know, we're sort of overachieving. Then, when we look back in context, and Bale's one of the top three or four players in the world, Modric is one of the top three or four playmakers in the world. It's like, well, actually, did Renner underachieve with that team?
I think he, to an extent, he possibly did.
This is a question for the end of the pod.
Yeah, but we'll
go on to it only because I think this season was when we started to see how good Modric was and how good Bale was. Bale obviously ripped into Milan to shreds in the second half in the 4-3 game, but it was the home game, wasn't it? That he didn't score, and I think that sort of speaks volumes about his performance, is that people still talk about that as the Bale game, and he didn't score. He set up
Crouch and Pav.
And Pav.
But he just destroyed Mike on the whole game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There was another goal that was disallowed as well where he destroyed
Crouch. Yeah,
off the pitch. Yeah.
Just about, yeah.
Never went
off. I mean, did you go to it, Jim?
No, I watched it at home on the telly.
He's setting it up to say that he went.
Yeah, I just
you know
where I went.
Just say no, yeah, and then he'll step in.
I didn't go.
I didn't fucking go.
Ollie, did you?
No.
Did you?
Well,
I went. Anyway, what else have we got to talk about?
No, it was a great atmosphere. It was amazing. But yeah, you could. I think we talked about it just before the pod. We were saying how every single time Bale got the ball, you just knew, didn't you? He had him on toast, like on, and he just.
You couldn't see him. You could just smell the smell of burnt grass.
If you were there, you would know.
I saw it from loads of different angles.
I'm gutted. Absolutely gutted that you saw it from behind a goal.
But it wasn't like a. You get sort of performances where you say, "Oh, a defender's been destroyed," and it's it's like he's been nutmegged a couple, you know, like Ivanovic recently, and it's like he's been nutmegged a couple of times, and he sort of slipped on his arse, and but it was just, it was the athleticism and power. It was like it was like a man playing against a child.
Yeah,
you know, when you're like, fuck it, I want to skin this kid.
Yeah,
and you just kick it past him and run around. You're like, ah, that. Like,
is that how you play football?
Yeah, I've done that. Babysitting my nephews, I've just you know, I want to score a wonder goal. I want to be Bale for the afternoon. So yeah. Come on then.
Got a show notes done,
but it was. It wasn't fair.
He beat him in every single way possible, didn't he? He beat him sort of doing a run.
He just kicked it past him, that's what I mean, and then just ran around the other way.
Yeah.
And that's not what you do in football, really.
Yeah.
It's prophetic of his Copa del Rey final goal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was. Yeah,
I've not really seen... Yeah. I mean, I think the commentator is Andy Gray. There's commentary about Andy Gray. The last goal, I think he crosses for Pav, or just crosses for Crouch?
Was Pav. No,
and Andy Gray says, I've never seen a player do this.
It's
and
so
you really great. Hadn't. It's like, there was no one else in the world of football at that time, even Ronaldo, who was just kicking it past someone and running around the other way.
You're talking about world-class players. It's so good. It's because he gets Lucio, doesn't he? Lucio just doesn't have a clue what to do with it.
Lucio was he a World Cup winner, Lucio?
I mean, he was considered Brazilian, one of the best centre-halves in the world
season, they won the Champions League the season before, didn't they?
Yeah,
he was part of it. So Maicon was considered the best right-back. Yeah.
Barely got on the protein shakes, didn't he, that season?
Yeah.
He turned from like this sixth-form, a poet or whatever, you know, into like...
yeah.
You know,
no, he was. He was like a fucking lead singer, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. He was brutal.
Drinks Iron Brew or whatever.
But he wasn't part of the... We'll do it quickly because we are sort of letting time run away from us a little bit, but he wasn't part of the team that beat AC Milan, and there was a few players that weren't actually part of the team that beat AC Milan. We had a shit team out in the San Siro, and we still won 1-0.
So midfield, Lennon, Palacios,
Sandro,
Pinar?
And Van der Vaart, and Van der Vaart. Yeah. And the defence by the end of the game was, because Flamini decided two-foot...
He killed Tranchard, didn't he?
No, Chorluka. Chorluka. Yeah, so we had Gallas right back, Woodgate, Dawson, Asuakoto.
It's not a bad defence.
Yeah, Woodgate hadn't played. But Woodgate hadn't played since 2009.
No,
and he came on, and obviously, you know, we were back to the walls by this point.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any overriding moment? I mean, for me, the only... Obviously, Crouch's goal, I went bananas. And
yeah.
I was in a pub in central London, and the glass... I think I told this story on a pod like a little while ago. The glass just shattered in my hand from celebrating, and it was just like, I don't care. I actually don't care. We are winning 1-0 at the San Siro against AC Milan in a last 16.
I think being a Spurs fan for the period of time that I'd been, it was... I really couldn't comprehend the situation we were in anyway. It was like fantasy land. I remember getting into the UEFA Cup as it was, and being fucking cock a hoop.
Yeah.
And here we are in the Champions League, beating AC Milan away. It was kind of like someone's made it up, you know.
But that was a case of
Beatles coming out.
Did you have any part of you that thought that we could do this all the way? As in,
After we beat AC Milan, I thought we were going to
win. I thought we were going to win.
I looked at it and went, you know what, if we get a lucky draw, you just don't know. Don't know. And we were at that top, weren't we, of that.
And I think in a lot of ways, because we were playing teams of, you know, greater standing, if you like, and we, you know, they would come onto us, and in effect, it was actually playing into our hands, because we had players like Lennon and Bale, who on the counter-attack were unstoppable.
Yeah.
And it was kind of almost set for us to go and do it, wasn't it? And it, you know, we had that power, just sheer athleticism, people that could, you know, you wouldn't catch them with a 20 metre head start.
Yeah.
And they were that quick.
But we got found out, didn't we, against Real Madrid?
I think rush of blood from Crouch never helps us.
Don't know how much it changed it, honestly. I honestly think it's a difference between 3-0 and 4-0, that Crouch.
I don't agree with that.
I think Crouch was playing... They knew how to play Crouch. They were playing him so high.
As soon as he was sent off...
We had no out.
Yeah, and the whole... I feel like the whole team just deflated. It was such a big...
They could have been 3-0 up before Crouch got sent off.
I think they were.
I was at the Bernabeu, and Dawson definitely should have given away a penalty before Crouch was sent off.
Dawson was the
most blatant handball I've ever seen.
As much as I love him.
And I think Aaron Leonard cried off sick.
Yeah, Genus played right wing.
We had Genus on the right wing. And we started, and, well, before we started, the Champions League music came on, and I cried a little bit. I had a little tear, because I'd never seen that before.
Quarterfinal.
Like, I'd never seen that, and I was in. I grew up with the Galacticos, like the real Ronaldo, Zidane, and Beckham, and Roberto Carlos, people like that. And I was there watching my Spurs play.
Yeah.
My Spurs, who usually we lose to
Wigan
or Blackburn, or Villa. Villa were our bogey team for years, and I was there, and the Champions League music in the fucking Bernabeu. But anyway, they were just so good. I think they would have torn us apart whether or not Crouch was playing.
Yeah, I agree.
Gallas and Dawson were playing.
Gomez was throwing it in his own net as well, a little bit.
Mentioning Gallas, we haven't touched on him, but he was great.
He was great for two seasons.
The pelters he got when we signed him, you know, and he was so good.
He stayed a year too long. And people forgot, because that year, the AVB year, the first season with AVB, I think we played Chelsea at home, and Mata just destroyed us. Yeah. It was a good game. I think it was 5-2, 4-2, 5-2. Really good game, but Gallas was at fault for about 3 goals. But that's moving forward. But
Gallas was under AVB.
He played with Corker a lot.
And there lies the problem. Gallas
in that free time at Arsenal as well.
I think that the game at the Bernabeu was the start of the end for Gomez as well. I think Cristiano Ronaldo scored a volley from a weird angle, and
went through Gomez.
And then in the return leg, again, there was a shot, speculative shot. He did that thing where he put his arms up and it sort of dropped it over.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. All right. Before we move on to the 2011-12 season, shall we have a break? Quick break,
please.
Yeah. All right. Have a break. Back in 2 seconds. Hello. Welcome back to the Tottenham Way podcast. Before we were talking about Harry Redknapp reign, we just finished the Champions League season. Let's move on to what I would call the most exciting season that I've had as a Tottenham fan. Full stop. Certainly in the league. 2011-12. Don't know what you guys are thinking, but at the start of the season we signed Scotty Parker. So our first choice midfield for that season was Lennon, Modric, Parker, Van der Vaart and Bale. We just signed Adebayor as well. Arguably our best Premiership 11. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Premier League era, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, certainly yeah, Premier League. Yeah.
Hands down, probably, actually.
When you consider
all the time.
No.
That's
that's a big shout.
Football started in 92 or something, didn't it?
Hands down. I mean,
for us, it started in 2009, so. and we had King fit for quite a lot of that season as well, for just the Saturdays, obviously.
Swimming paid off.
Yeah, the swimming really paid off in the set piece training.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ledders, by the way.
Happy birthday, Ledders.
And to goalkeeping coach Tony Jimenez.
Yes, indeed. They both massive fans of the Tottenham Way podcast right here.
Both equally legendary.
Yes, exactly. So the start of the season obviously was offset a little bit by the riots in Tottenham, so our Everton game got postponed. Went to United, I think it was a Monday night fixture. The weekend after the opening weekend, lost 3-0. Weekend after that, we lost 5-1 at home to Man City. We were in disarray, really, weren't we? There was no word on Modric's future.
In the documentary I watched earlier, Redknapp, he does an interview where he's I'd forgotten this, and he says, I haven't enjoyed a minute this pre-season, it's been terrible. I don't know what's been going on with Modric. He didn't have a striker. And I think the whole build-up to those two Manchester games was... I mean, if we thought this pre-season was a bit inconvenient with Kane going to the Euros and the Audi Cup and stuff, it was nothing to how badly prepared we were that season, I think. Mm.
Did anyone go to the Man City game?
Did you?
I can't even remember it.
No, I didn't actually. I was at a festival that game, and I was getting texts from my mate because we were the early kickoff on a Sunday, and it was like, yeah, we lost to a Dzeko masterclass, basically.
Oh, I do remember.
World class. Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, that game, and then made a lot better by Arsenal losing 8-2.
Oh,
just
yes.
Just an hour later, it was the same game. That was a hell of a match of the day too.
Kept us off the back page.
It did. It did. But there was reasoning behind it, wasn't there? You know, the Modric thing really unsettled us. So I think that game we played Crenshaw and Livermore in midfield.
I was about to say it was Crenshaw and Livermore centre midfield, and I remember thinking it was.
Hard to believe we lost. Really,
it's a clearer sort of message to a chairman as there ever has been in the Premier League. Really, it was like. I think Harry was pushing for Scott Parker, and what's come out since is that, well, we know Levy's not that keen on signing 30-something or 29-year-olds because they haven't got sell-on value, and he just doesn't like doing it. He's never liked doing it, regardless of the manager. And I don't think Levy wanted to sign Parker.
When did he put two goalkeepers on the bench?
That was United.
Sorry,
the game after.
The game before.
The game before City.
Yeah. Yeah, well, United was the Livermore crunch on midfield as well.
I think we
use the same midfield?
Pretty sure, and I think Crouch was playing as well, and it was just, it wasn't, it was, we were disjointed, and nothing was really happening for us. Well, we played those two games, we lost 3-0, so we lost 5-1, and then we went to Wolves, and we won 2-0, and then we went 12 games unbeaten, and it was... You know, all we did was sign Parker and pretty much tell Modric that he was staying. And we signed Adebayor, of course. And then suddenly everything was different. Yeah, Adebayor scored in his debut. Everything was different, wasn't it? And do you guys remember thinking, in much the same way as that 2009-10 season, did you think we were starting to build something? Was it a similar start to that 2009-10 season, but instead this time we had a season of Champions League behind us and... a few memories of what glory is like and starting to believe something was going to happen that year or what?
I think there was an expectation because we tasted it, hadn't we? Mm. That was the problem. Admittedly, we weren't going to be in it that year. But the signing of Scott Parker, bearing in mind the season before, it was a player of the season or something.
He was fantastic, unbelievable.
I think I mentioned this to you off air, was that Scott Parker was the best signing of the Redknapp era.
We're going to do a little quick kind of Q&A towards the end of it. That's a hell of a shout, but he was a foil to Modric, certainly.
I mean, in a way that Sandro wasn't, you know, he had that chemistry in midfield that I think Sandro didn't bring with us. He bought a lot, and he was a combative and effective midfielder, but Scott Parker actually gave us some sort of identity, some sort of balance about, you know, he knew his limitations, he knew what he wanted to do or what he could do, and he let the rest of the people play around him. And I think Sandro perhaps thought he was a bit more of a footballer than perhaps he was.
I think Sandro was a footballer. Look at the goals. Some of the goals he scored, say, against United or Chelsea away. Mm. Sandro was an excellent footballer. And people often forget that because he's the way he's perceived on social media. He's a bit of a joker. He has a laugh. Maybe people think he doesn't take his football seriously enough. But if you ask me, a fully fit Sandro or a fully fit Scott Parker, I'd pick Sandro every time.
During that season? During that? I can't remember.
It's difficult because the following season, so the AVB season, Sandro was, for me, more important than Bale until January.
Yeah.
I mean, that the reason we didn't get fourth place was because Sandro got injured against QPR.
I remember Stan Collymore saying on TalkSport, Stan Collymore saying on TalkSport that he thought that Dembele and Sandro was the best central midfield pairing in the Premier League. And
for a while it did look like it.
Because they were just solid. How many goals did we concede at the start of that season? Not many. But obviously we're moving forward. But I see you're Scott Parker, but I prefer Sandro myself.
He did get games towards the end of the season, I think. But
I just think Scott Parker, whereas, you know, going on what you're saying, like Sandro is a better footballer. You know, like you said, he scores some cracking goals in it along the way. But I kind of like that about Scott Parker, that he knew where his glass ceiling was and he didn't try and burst through. He was like, I'm just going to tidy up, mop up and keep it straight and simple.
Yeah.
And that worked wonders for us that season.
Not a single pass over 5 yards that season was there for Parker. But
the interesting thing is, I'm listening to you guys say this, but when he got that Football Writers Player of the Year, whatever it was, Players Player of the Year, at West Ham, he chipped in with quite a few goals this season.
I think Ollie's right, I think he
had a job to do in the Spurs team and he recognised that he was next to a
genius.
I'm now
thinking about all the misses that Scott Parker had.
I remember, didn't he miss one from about 2 yards when he had the chance to score his first, because he never scored for us, I don't think
he didn't, no.
And I might be imagining it. It was an open goal from 2 yards, and he mishit it or something like that.
He fell over or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
I mean,
didn't it go behind him in the end?
I don't know.
He had grey hair as well.
He had very RAF.
Not dissimilar to Ollie's.
That's true.
I did it like this in prep. I knew I was going to bring this up.
After that, those two losses, we went 12 games unbeaten, including we won at home to Liverpool, we won at home to Arsenal, at Walker, really long range goal.
3-2, was it 3-1 against Liverpool?
No, 4-0.
We smashed them. 4-0
was
Modric.
Modric, Adebayor, and someone else. They had two men sent off as well. They just couldn't handle us. That was under Dalglish.
But their last man was sent off in injury time.
Adam got sent off.
Yeah.
And horrible player. We got to New Year, and this is when the pod's going to have to start to take a turn, because after that New Year,
let's talk about the transfer window, because that was the biggest
transfer window happened after we lost 3-2 to Man City.
Okay.
And I think, let's face it, one thing that really sticks out in my mind is Spooky said it once on the Fighting Cock, and he said it so flippantly, and I agreed with
every
him
week.
So
name drops.
Sorry. But Spooky said it, and every single time,
love me.
Sticks in my mind. He said, Dan, fuck off. he said, if Defoe scores that chance, we win the league.
Yeah.
And it's ludicrous, because none of us really believe it. But if Defoe scores that chance, don't we go second, a point behind United, something like that? Those tiny margins that make such a difference, because...
Yeah.
After that, Balotelli should have been sent off.
Stamped on his fucking head.
Balotelli scores a winning penalty. At least we deserved was a 2-2 draw out of that. But we lost. And suddenly everyone was like, you know what? We're not Champions League. We're not title winning necessarily. Because the other thing was that Adebayor couldn't play in that game.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Defoe up front. And
It's not particularly similar, but I think there are results that can take the wind out of a team and take the belief out of a team. And like last season, when we lost 3-0 to Man United, felt like that was the point where it was like the players accepted they weren't going to get the top four. I mean, there must have been a sort of glimmer of hope.
If we'd beaten them, we would have gone 1 point behind them or something.
Yeah,
like
I think there was...
And they went 7 points clear
of us. There was something like belief that we could do it, but it was slim. And then we got blown away. And also it wasn't particularly similar because the Man City game was close, but it was just the result knocked the stuffing out of us.
It was a title race. Yeah. It was a title race.
I remember.
We may have come third in it, or whatever. Fourth. We were in a title. Yeah. No, but no. At the time, if we'd have won that game, you know, but we were in it.
We were in it mathematically longer than Arsenal and Chelsea that year.
Yeah.
And
Chelsea were nowhere near it.
Yeah, I'd never heard Spooky say that. But fucking hell, it's...
I think he's obviously been... It was dramatic, and he was... I think this was in the days of AVB as well, so we were kind of licking our wounds a little bit in that AVB kind of brought us back down to earth a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
You say that, but then we had our best ever points tally under AVB.
Well, no, of course, but then the football that we played wasn't anywhere near as good as what we had under...
But we didn't have anywhere near as good players either.
No, but... I know what you mean, but when he said it, it resonated with me because you did think that. I said very early in the pod how we were riding this wave, and you felt like that 11-12 season, if Defoe had gone a split second earlier, he gets his toe to the ball, we win 3-2 at the Etihad. And who knows? You don't know. You have no idea what could have happened after that. But the fact is, we lost that game. The transfer window was closing. We had Sunderland at home. We won 1-0 because Pav scored, I believe. Defoe scored. And the transfer window was ending. We got rid of Pav. He went to Moscow, CSKA Moscow.
Yeah.
We brought in Sahar and Nelson, and I think this, Ollie, is where I'd really like to sort of pick your brains about this in terms of Levy. Do you think that Levy just simply did not trust Redknapp with a title winning war chest, you know, of money? If he'd have given him 30 million and said, go, do win us the title, do you think it was ever crossed Levy's mind to do that, or do you just think he didn't trust him?
I think, you know, kind of what you're going back to the reference you made of Spooky there, saying we could win the league. You know, it is all about ifs and buts. And ultimately, we were 2-2 at that point, were we not? And yeah. We still went and lost that game. We didn't not win it, we lost it for conceding a penalty. It was a penalty. So we still, you know, best case scenario 3-3, you know, if you're looking at it like that. And were we ever in it, or is it like our optimism getting away from us? Probably a bit.
But we're Spurs, we don't have optimism.
Had that point, I think we were coming to the point there where Capello was...
Let's do this.
We need more on this window. We need more time.
Okay, that is huge. That's a good point that we'll come back to. Yeah, no, sorry. Sorry, Ollie. No,
I mean,
right.
Did he trust him? He never trusted him from day one.
No.
You know, he didn't want him, you know.
He was on trial for tax evasion, though, wasn't he? So why would you trust him?
Tax evasion, yeah.
The simple matter of fact is that he gave more money to Redknapp when we were fighting relegation than when we were in a chance of winning the title. He gave 50 million to Redknapp.
And that is everything you need to know about Levy.
But what's more valuable to Levy?
Can I say? No, of course. Louis Saha is better than Roman Pavlyuchenko. And he was better than Roman Pavlyuchenko.
How good was Louis Saha in Levy King's testimonial?
Yeah, he was.
How good was he against Newcastle that game? Yeah. Oh, everyone remembers that.
Do you want to move on? Don't. Have the last word on the transfer window.
Well, I think you've summed it up, really. I'm not a Levy hater, and I'm not a Levy apologist, in inverted commas. But I think, you've said it all. Levy's a... Mike Ashley, for instance, he's a chairman who's... pan for just wanting to exist. Like, his whole remit at Newcastle is just stay in the Premier League, pass go, collect £200, just get the money from being in the Premier League. And I think, in a way, Levy's not dissimilar to that. He has more ambition, he's got more vision, but he was not interested in winning the title at all that season.
Money.
He knows. Mike actually doesn't care about not having the fans on the side, but I think Levy knows you need fans to have hope and be on the side.
I think he thought that we were going to get Champions League. We're not going to win the title.
We should have done,
but we're going to. Yeah, of course, and he was any and other season fully, you get that. Fully we justified, third, let alone fourth, and then with the whole Chelsea.
Yeah,
thing,
yeah, yeah.
He thought that that was what was going to happen.
And he was fully justified in thinking that, but he that was that window was a. Well, Loic Remy was available from Marseille, and Redknapp said that.
And Nelson was.
Loic Remy would have.
Gary Cahill
would have scored goals.
I don't like Gary Cahill, but we could have signed him for £8 million, and he would have been better than Ryan.
But
Nelson.
Ryan Nelson was good for us.
He was actually half decent.
He was solid, and he was okay.
Sahara and Nelson were both okay, but.
Ryan Nelson.
It comes down to that, though, doesn't it? Are we trying to win a title? Are we realistic?
Did Levy just think we're going to finish third or fourth no matter what? Get him who he wants. He might have already started to think.
I don't have a massive problem with that window, personally, because I thought Saha did a job, and I thought Nelson did a job.
The contempt on Tom's face.
You're talking like that. I'm going to edit everything you've said out of this.
I don't have a massive. In the way that some people deride that window, I don't have a massive issue with it. I think Saha and Nelson were enough to get us into the top four, which we did get into the top four.
Yeah,
we should have been third.
That's a fair point.
I think the major failing of that season was Redknapp.
Yeah.
All right.
Not Levy.
Well, let's move in. You know, we had.
Don't disagree, but I still.
Slightly disagree.
I don't disagree. The main failing was Redknapp. Yeah. I put him as number one reason. From that point onwards, he was the number one reason we didn't finish third.
Well,
in February, we
kind of knew about this this case that was coming up for Redknapp, and it was Redknapp and Mandarich, wasn't it, at their time at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
It was to do with tax evasion and things to do with, was it signings or
something.
Yeah, there was players that had come in.
Rosie
47 will pay all your tax. That was the chant at Newcastle at home.
We want you to stay.
We want you to stay. Pardew for England. Yeah, it was amazing, and we all thought that, you know what, we've got the manager, we've got the result, we were 5-0 up at home to Newcastle. We were just battering everyone. Week later,
who was man of the match in that game?
Or
four assists.
I was hoping you were going to say Louis Saha.
he was very good, but the week later we went to the Emirates. We go 2-0 up.
Louis Saha.
Louis Saha scored.
I was there. We were singing. Someone had a banner. And it was Arsenal end of season party, and it had Wenger on it throwing a bottle down. Do you remember when? We were singing, "We want you to stay, Arsene Wenger. We want you to stay."
Anyone that bought a Mind the Gap T-shirt, I blame solely for that. Did you just do your thing? Honestly, it's as if people hadn't supported Spurs before that year.
Yeah.
Why would you buy that? Why would you buy into this thing in February?
If we won that game, we were 13 points clear of them, weren't we?
Yeah,
we were
2-0 up.
But we were 2-0 up. So I was singing it. So
honestly, we could have been on the last day of the season, 4 points clear and winning at half time, and I'd have still gone, yeah, but they might deduct us. Do you know what I mean? Don't celebrate it fucking February, for God's sake.
If it come off though,
of course, yeah, amazing. Well, but, and it's a joke now.
I apologise.
You should do.
But it was fun at the time.
No, but
until that Sanya header went in, and we all knew what was happening.
Was it, wasn't it?
And then the Van Persie right on half time.
And then Walcott, Rizicki, and Walcott again, was it?
And
Scott Parker got sent off. Scott Parker got sent off.
If
Sandro was playing.
But Jim, you. Jim, you raised the point before the podcast. We can say all this about, you know, the whole tax thing and the losses and all this. What was the definitive moment that we lost out on Champions League football that season?
When John Terry racially abused Anton Ferdinand, it set off a chain of events that ultimately led to Redknapp leaving the club.
Mm.
And so that happens.
Fabio, anyone disagree? With
no,
you know, it,
I've forgotten
it
that.
Paved,
but
it paved
it's
the
completely
way,
true.
It paved the way
so
for
racism Redknapp. Destroyed Tottenham's.
Kick it out.
Chance.
John Terry destroyed Tottenham's.
Yeah, it did. Don't do that.
Well, it went full circle, didn't it?
Ledley lost us the league and then John Terry lost us some chances.
It started with John Terry being racist and ended with an ex-Chelsea player, Arjen Robben, missing a penalty in the second half of extra time of the Champions League final.
So you're trying to make me cry.
Well,
you know what? The other day, I was talking to, just going to do a very quick thing, but the other day I was talking to my mum about a podcast. My mum listens to every single podcast.
What did you think of me?
I hate you. lovely fella, I think is the term. My mum listened to it and she went, because you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about John Terry and I said I wouldn't give a shit if he died on the pitch.
I said
my mum went, I thought that was a little bit strong.
Especially after certain events at one.
What you meant was, I hope he dies on the pitch.
Yeah.
I
want to see it. I want to be present when John Terry dies.
I'm having nothing to do.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Couldn't give a shit. There are disgusting. I hate him so much.
I definitely
for all
hate
of
him.
Those reasons.
I definitely hate him. I wouldn't want to be best mates with him and go around with my missus for dinner.
Definitely don't let your missus.
Yeah.
Would you go alone?
No, just in case.
Yeah. Got to be wary.
Yeah. He's got a fucking cunt face, hasn't he?
Everything. Personally,
his face.
Yeah.
Because he got away with glassing a doorman and partially blinding a doorman.
His
he's an awful
is
man.
Disabled spots just so he can park in them.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
the
sort of man he is.
Yeah, he is. It's not a joke, either. He's got done for it again recently, hasn't he? He's scum of the earth, and his entire family is exactly the same vein. They're horrible.
Alleged,
but no, they're not. they're all of them horrible people.
But he's
but
got a horrible face as well.
Yeah,
mum's a thief.
Yeah.
John Terry.
but I think, honestly, I think you're right, mate. I think that it did spark a chain of events.
Well, because Capello resigned on that day.
He wasn't prepared to work for an organisation that was going to basically deprive him of his captain in, what, 2012 Euro 2012?
No,
he had worked years under Berlusconi, though, hadn't he? So he's
no,
quite,
yeah.
he wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
There you go. You know.
But we lost. In the end, I've got it here. We lost to Arsenal, and out of the next 12, we only won 4 games. And if you want to get into the top 4, it doesn't happen, does it? It does not happen like that. And I think that.
Well, I think then we won. Have we slipped to 5th at any point?
No.
So I think we didn't.
No,
we
no,
win
no,
three
no.
of the last
miles
4.
Ahead of Chelsea.
We won
miles
3 of the last 4.
But I think we needed those last 3 wins to sort of secure it, didn't we?
Yeah, but the last game of the season, because by the last game of the season we knew that Chelsea had reached the Champions League final. We played West Brom. No,
Arsenal
played West Brom, and we played.
And who was their emergency lone goalkeeper?
And that felt like a game. That felt like a game for 4th, didn't it?
He threw.
It was.
Yeah,
it was a game.
It felt like,
ridiculous.
Yeah,
the
it felt like we were 5th, and we needed to get into top 4.
But we were actually at
there
third.
There was already that.
In third at some
bit.
Point, I think. But then Fulop threw in
the
net
twice.
They
were losing 1-0, and we were winning 1-0, and then, then Fulop sort of pretty much gave it up. And, you know, the rest, it happened. I don't think any Spurs fan out
Does anyone
there,
think Harry should have been sacked before the Champions League final?
No.
Yeah.
I think there's a compelling argument for that.
Let's go on to that. Let's say we finished 4th. It was our best ever season because, not in terms of points total, and I accept what you say, Jim, in AVB's next season, we finished with our record points, but to watch, I wanted to go to every home game. I enjoyed every home game of that season.
You had that holy trinity of Bale, Van der Vaart and Modric, who were just a joy, joy to watch. And obviously with Ledley there as well. They were some of the best footballers I've ever had the privilege to see live, and they're all in the same team. And
how much do you think, to sort of bring it back to the whole Redknapp pod, how much do you think is down to Redknapp in terms of how we now see Modric, how we now see Bale?
Well, he tried to sell Bale.
Who? Oh, he did to Birmingham, didn't he?
To Birmingham and then to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
But Asu Okoto got injured. So he got lucky with Bale. Modric was always going to be a great player. And
Van der Vaart was given to him.
Yeah, Van der Vaart was already a finished article. I don't think he develops players, personally. In the same way that, say, Pochettino does. And I don't think if he had stayed, Bale wouldn't have become the player that AVB made him.
So you think AVB was more to do with
Bale's success was more down to AVB developing his game, because he was already fucking brilliant, but AVB taught him to play in a different way. He was getting double marked out on the left, and we said before how we preferred Bale as the raw left winger and leaving defenders for dead, and yeah, that's exciting, but when you've got two players doubling up on you, that's not going to happen every game, and AVB helped Bale evolve. I don't think I'm still on the fence with Redknapp. I think he did the job that was required of him at the time, and when he was asked to commit to us, Levy offered him the contract, and he wanted the England job. And no matter what he says, he wanted the England job, and he wouldn't commit to us, and that fucked Levy off. And as soon as he didn't commit to us, our results tailed off, and that was him signing his own P45. Although you don't sign
your own. Couldn't agree more.
He was Levy's worst nightmare. I honestly think that he was an expensive survival plan, and he managed to keep us up in that season, and in the next season he got us Champions League. Van der Vaart came along for 8 million. If Van der Vaart was offered to us for anything above 10 million, I don't think it would have happened.
I was thinking about that line from The Dark Knight, which is a great film if you've not seen it. And it's like Levy basically turned to a man he didn't understand, basically, and that was Redknapp. He didn't really understand him. He had this kind of, you know, CV that suggested I can save you from the shit.
You're worse.
And then he went and did something no one expected, and getting into the top four and having a great year in the Champions League. And then it was kind of like, where do you go from that? And I don't really think. Even Redknapp, I don't think he really believed where he got. He's still pinching himself, thinking, I nearly got us bloody top 4-2.
Watch the interview. Try and find the interview with Levy just after Redknapp's been appointed and Ramos has been sacked. And it reeks of... He as good as says, we needed a safety net here. I needed to do something drastic. I needed to make this changing. He's as good, reading between the lines is as good as saying, I needed to do this to keep us up. So I agree with Ollie. I don't think in his wildest dreams he thought Redknapp was going to be the person to lead us to the top four. I think that was always Levy's intention. That's always his plan for the club. But I can almost see him thinking, right, we'll survive relegation, we'll get sick next year, I'll sack him, I'll bring in another continental manager, I'll get my director of football back, that's what I'm doing. Pochettino, whereas Redknapp's his nightmare, Pochettino's his dream.
Yeah, it's a really interesting view, isn't it, overall, of our last 5 years. Say, 7 years, we're nearly 7 years to the day since Redknapp took over, and we're almost a completely different club purely because of what Redknapp did for us, by accident or otherwise, you know, or design. I don't think there was a lot of design, was there, with Redknapp?
You challenged something I said earlier, and I believe it. I think Redknapp underachieved.
Yeah, I do.
The interesting thing is I think he massively overachieved in the Champions League, because you look at the way Manchester City have struggled year on year. You look at the way Liverpool just crashed out. It's so difficult to go into the Champions League and do what we did. And that's why I think Redknapp deserves an immense amount of credit, because he went to the Champions League, he took everyone on.
I think we played without fear, didn't we?
And we were almost...
Good word.
Yeah, it was. But I think domestically, when I look back, I personally didn't appreciate how good a player Bale was. I didn't appreciate how good a player Modric was. You know, I almost find it hard to appreciate brilliant players when they're at Tottenham, and I don't know if that's part of my mindset. So I think he should have done more, obviously in the final season, but
I think especially in that last
especially in the last season, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked nicely about his legacy, but let's do a really quick sort of Q&A. Last few questions, Guy, that we've essentially condensed like 3.5 years into an hour and a half, and it is difficult to do, but yes or no's and one word answers from all you guys. Ollie, should we have kept him after the 2012 season?
No.
Dan?
No.
Nope.
No. How would we have fared without Modric if he did stay? Who do you think? Do you think he would have replaced him? What do you think would have happened there?
How would we have fared without Modric?
Without Modric, because Modric was going to go full stop.
Oh, and that's
how important do you feel like Modric was to Redknapp's way of playing, or do you think he would have got in Steve Sidwell?
Critical.
Yeah.
He had that ability to find a passer that we still can't find.
Yeah.
Well, I think Levy would have signed Dembele anyway, so yeah, it would have been.
We still haven't replaced Modric. I mean, Modric was the perfect replacement for Carrick. We still haven't replaced Modric, and without him, he's just a phenomenal player. Despite what people may think of him as a character for leaving and wanting to go to the Blue Scum, he's just phenomenal. It's a privilege to have watched him at Spurs.
Finally, what's your one memory of the Redknapp era? You have to pick one.
Weird as it was, the defeat away to Inter.
Okay.
That was defining.
That was coming. Yeah. That was Bale's coming.
Yeah, I think that was it. I would never celebrate.
Even my missus.
I did. Yeah, totally remember. I got shots after that game. Yeah. I was like, right, lads, this is it. Yeah.
My missus is an Arsenal fan, and she celebrated. Sorry.
Whoa!
I'm fraternising with
you. How many reasons do you want to give us to kick you off this podcast?
But I've had two kids with her, and one is called Teddy. So.
Oh, okay. Shut up. Yeah.
You're back in the pod. Yeah.
But even she celebrated Bale's third goal.
Amazing.
I went, oh, bless him, when he did his interview afterwards.
That's about as praise as you can get, I suppose. Dan, best moment?
Danny Rose.
Shout. Great shout. Jim?
So are we doing best moment or defining moment?
Best. Best moment that you enjoyed personally.
Me personally, was Newcastle at home. Never really had an atmosphere like it since, singing We Want You to Stay. It was just a fantastic day, and it all went downhill from there, unfortunately.
Yeah, the tipping point.
It was the tipping point.
It was so good. And I remember singing Pardew for England, and Pardew, thinking we were serious probably, but clapping us.
Yeah. He had a hand down his trousers when he was doing that as
His lack
of
self-awareness is just brilliant.
I don't mind it, but
which is funny because he is going to be the next England manager. But for me, and I'm not...
He's...
Who else? Another pod. For me personally...
Next week.
Personally, the...
Does anyone know what the England score is? Does anyone care?
Couldn't give a shit.
Kane starting.
Brilliant.
Oh, why are they flogging him to death?
Should we have a look?
Lads, I've got to go. Let's stop this now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Guy, this has been great. Like I say, we've had to condense 3.5 years into an hour and a half, and it's not easy, but between four of us, I hope that we've got it across. I think we all agree that the Redknapp years were the most fun that we've had. Yeah, how can you not? As great as Pochettino is at the moment, and it is fun to watch him bring through the youth players, we had it. Redknapp said it himself. We've never had it so good. So
I love this team more.
Write an article about it.
All right.
So Jim, you are at Stylish Riot.
Yep.
Ollie, you are at Ollie Lister. O-L-Y.
Yeah. Just...
Dan, you are at the Tottenham Way. I am at TomFoynes87. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been fucking great, guys. It's been really good fun. Yeah, we'll see you next week after the Liverpool game. Fucking come on, you Spurs.
Kane's just scored.
Yeah. Come on, you Spurs.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool, but financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.